Well, I thank God for how He has promised in His Word to lead us. And that's what I'd like to speak to us today about. I was so impressed with scriptures through the Bible of His promise to lead us. I was thinking of the one in Isaiah 40 and verse 11. It says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now, I remember how this was such an encouragement to me as a young mother and as a childbearing mother. This was such a blessing to me, because there are days that you feel like you're just on a march, and it's really hard being a mother. And this was always such a comfort that the Lord was right there gently leading me as a young mother. Well, it's not just for the mothers that are here this morning. This word, gently lead, I believe, has to do also with His church. He's talking about His church here. He's going to gently lead His people and those that are bearing fruit for Him and those that are winning souls for Him. He's going to gently lead us. I'd like to speak just a little bit about this today. We have this promise, and we have other promises in the Word. In one of my favorites that I lean on is in Psalms 32 and verse 8. I've been leaned on this and prayed this scripture many times, trusted in this promise. 32 and verse 8 of Psalms. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near thee. He doesn't want to lead us, or He doesn't want to control us, as one would control a horse. Have you ever had to put the bit and bridle on a horse? If you've got to have some strength in your nature to be able to put that into the horse. Because you set that cold piece of metal down on that horse's tongue, very tender part of the horse, and it's held inside the horse's mouth, and it goes against the bend of its mouth like this as metal, and then you turn that horse by pulling on this side or on this side. This is saying the Lord's saying to us, I don't want to control you like that. Don't be a person that the only way to get you to do something is to cause pain and suffering to you, but be somebody that's easy to be led. I want to just guide you with my eye. This is what He's saying here, the relationship between us and the Lord. He's promised to gently lead us and to instruct us and guide us. But He doesn't want us to have to always have something forceful in our lives to make us to move. I remember a young man years ago when we were young people. There was a young man that said, the Lord will have to hit me over the head if He wants me to be a missionary to a foreign country. Well, the poor brother has never been a missionary, and he actually went after the riches of this world. I don't know how he is in his soul today. It doesn't look very good. But I thought about that, and when we were younger, we had a brother minister who was a very influential guide to us as young people. And one of the things that he told us, he said, God will never call you where you've not volunteered first. And it's true. I feel like that's a true statement, is that He's not going to just plop something down in front of an unwilling person who has not first said, Lord, here am I, send me. So this is some of the things that are involved in the Lord leading us, is that we must be first a willing vessel. We must be first someone with understanding, someone with keen sense of what would the Lord have. What does that involve then? We must know the Lord. We must be acquainted with the Lord. Our hearts must be tender so that He will have written His law in our hearts. He doesn't want to just guide us with a rule book, but He wants there to be a sense of His heart and His will just down inside of us, to where we will consider the choice and the option of doing something, and there will be something within us that thinks, oh, you know, I don't believe this would be pleasing to the Lord. I don't believe like this. I don't believe that this would glorify the Lord. Come to think of it, it wouldn't bring others to Him. It would be a reproach. These things would lead us. It would gently lead us. Just us looking at the Lord, looking at the law of the Lord, just keeping our eye on Him, we will know by how He's working in our lives. We will know by how He's worked in the past. The Lord has worked in the past. He's led me in the past. Now this seems to be in direct opposition. No, I don't believe the Lord would be leading this way because, well, one of the things that some people say, well, God led me to do this. And you could go to the Word of God, and it's in opposition to the Word of God. How could God lead someone in direct opposition to His own Word? We just know He won't do it. He says, don't be as the horse that have to be held in by a bit and a bridle, but I will instruct you, and I will teach you, I will lead you in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eye. And Isaiah, let's see, let me find it here. Isaiah 42 and verse 16. He said, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Now, I have this underlined in my Bible. This is a precious promise. The Lord has promised to lead you when you're having to go in paths that you have not known. And we have that different times in our lives where it looks like that our path has been going on a kind of a familiar and easy way, and all of a sudden, the Lord takes a turn. Have you ever seen this? I've seen this in life. The Lord takes a turn and a little jolt, and whoa, here we go. And this is unfamiliar. I've never had to go through this. Lord, I didn't know you were going to lead in this way. But whenever you're confident in who's leading and you're confident that He has directed this way, you're going in a path that you've not known, you can trust Him. You can follow Him. He'll lead you and He'll bring you in the way that you didn't know. He'll lead you in a path that you've not known. He'll make darkness light before you and crooked things straight. He'll not forsake you. This is His promise. I thank the Lord for this promise. Now there are different scriptures that I saw where David especially asked the Lord to lead him. Psalms 31, I believe, and verse 3. We have the promise that He will lead us, but as I said before, He's not going to call you to do something that you've not volunteered for. He wants us to begin asking Him to lead us, and really mean it. Let's look at these, Psalm 31 and 3. For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. We must have an interest in the Lord's name in the earth. It's not just for my own welfare and for my own happiness that I'm asking God to lead me. There is a higher purpose. There's a higher reason that we should be interested in. Lord, for your name's sake, so your name will be lifted up and glorified, so there won't be a reproach on your name, lead me and guide me. Another one, let's see, where is it that he says, lead me in a plain path? Okay, Psalm 27 and 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Why? Because of my enemies. Here, I'm asking the Lord to lead me because I have a recognition, I have an awareness of the enemy. Last Sunday, we spoke about the hedge that the Lord has put about us and how that the Lord is our keeper and the significance of it. We talked about the purposes and the plans and schemes of the enemy. What were the things that we said the enemy wanted to do? Devour you. Sift you as wheat. He wants to, how was it he wanted to do to Job? He wanted to make Job curse God. That's how he wanted to devour him. He wanted to make Job curse God, so he asked God's permission to do all these things so that he insisted that Job would. Job did not do it. But the plans and the schemes of the enemy are why we need to be on our faces asking the Lord, Lord, lead me in a plain path because I've got an enemy. I have many enemies. I have the enemy of Satan, and I have, remember the enemy that we talked about last time? Our own flesh. Wars against our soul. The desires of our flesh are like enemy soldiers fighting our very spirit. So we ask in the Lord, Lord, lead me in a plain path. I think about how that if we go onto paths that are dangerous, simply because we're following our own inclinations. It's going into temptation. What's the other scripture in Jesus told us to pray? Lead us not into temptation. If we begin to go down paths of our own inclination, take our own way, those paths will bring temptations that we cannot withstand. But if we will ask the Lord, Lord, you lead me. You lead my path today. And be willing to walk in the Lord's path. It will be a path that will keep you in safety from your enemies. He will deliver you from the wicked one. I wish I could bring this down really. There was a person one time that was in a time of great temptation in their life. But they were praying every day, Lord, keep me from falling. Help me here. I realize I'm being tempted. The temptations come constantly to the mind. Always subjected to the source of temptation. Lord, deliver me. Help me. And one time there was something came up in the day, and this person had to go and do a certain thing. And while they were going to do this certain thing, the source of their temptation, they recognized, well, there they went. There that person went. And recognized that the small things of the day, whatever had transpired in the day, God, you have led me so that I did not encounter that at this time. With that came the realization that if you'll just follow the Lord, if you'll just follow the Lord in whatever He brings into your life, just have a heart to follow Him. He'll lead you away from encounters that would bring great temptation to you in a time of weakness. I know the Lord will do that. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. There's another prayer that I read. in chapter 43 of Psalms. He said in verse 3, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, and let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." When we're asking the Lord for him to lead us, ask him, "Lord, send your light and your truth," and then be willing to accept it. We can ask the Lord many times, "Lord, I'm going to service here, and I need you to give me something from the Word." But don't ask the Lord for it if you're not willing to obey it. Ask him for light and for truth to let them lead you. And the Lord is always going to lead you upward. He's not ever going to lead you back down into sin. So the truth sometimes may be something that will propel you upward, and it'll be a little tough. It'll be a little hard sometimes. It will have something in it that will cause us to make a choice, either to consecrate or to lose ground and slip backward. Truth makes us responsible. When we hear truth from God's Word, and we have actually been saying, "Lord, lead me," and then we hear this truth, and it's a little tough, then we're very, very responsible for what just came to us. I'm going to show you some people over here in Jeremiah 42, what they did. Now these men, these people, just a few of the Israelites that they had been left in Judah, the king of Babylon had carried away most of the people, and these people, they call themselves a remnant. They were left, and they came to Jeremiah. They were the captains of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah. And all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near. Now they were afraid of some of their enemies. They were afraid that they would be attacked as were their brethren. So they came to Jeremiah and the prophet and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, "Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us." Okay, here's what they asked for him to pray. "Pray that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do." Sounds like a good prayer, doesn't it? Pray that the Lord will show me his will. How many times have people come to a minister or something and say, "Pray that the Lord will show me what to do"? Well, unfortunately, there are still people today who have in their minds what they really want to do. They have in their minds, "I want the Lord to show me how to do this thing that I want to do. I want the Lord to give me a peace about it. I really want to do this. In the end, this is what I'm going to do. And I want you to pray for..." What they're not saying at all, "Show me, whatever you show me, that's what I'm going to do." And have it in their heart. Now listen to what happened. "So then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, 'I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you.' Then they said to Jeremiah, 'The Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God.'" Now they have really made a consecration here. They have said, "Whatever you tell us, we will obey." They are their own judges. They have pronounced their own judgment when they said that. And so it said it came to pass after 10 days. So Jeremiah sought the Lord, and the first day he didn't get an answer. Second day he didn't get an answer. He sought the Lord for 10 days, and then he came back to them and he called them to him. And he said in verse 9, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him, if you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return unto your own land." Who wouldn't want what he just said? Who wouldn't want that? He said, "I'm going to protect you from him. You stay here and I'm going to build you. I'm going to plant you. I'm going to bless you, and then I'm going to help you to return to your own land. But if you say, 'We will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God,' saying, 'No, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. None of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them." What do you think they did? Chapter 43. It came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, "Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, 'Go not into Egypt to sojourn there.'" And then they blamed it on Baruch, Jeremiah's scribe. They said that he set you against us so that we might be captives and carried away into Babylon and put to death. So they obeyed, at verse 4, all the people obeyed not the Lord, voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. In verse 7, so they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. And I read a little bit about that later these very people stoned Jeremiah and killed him. Now, I don't know, I couldn't find where that said it, but that's what tradition has, that you can read about it in history, that these people in this place, in this Tahpanhes, they killed Jeremiah. That was the end of their disobedience. He said to them, let's see, where was it where he told them? Oh, I didn't read it. Verse 20, "For you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, 'Pray for us.'" Dissemble means you were being deceitful. You were saying one thing when you really meant another. There is a terrible end to people who do this kind of thing, who say, "Pray for me, I want to do the will of the Lord," when they really have in their heart and their mind, they're going to do what they want to do. And then they're saying, "I want the Lord to lead me." That's a very, very dangerous thing. I have seen that happen several times in people who were rejecting the truth as it was being taught, and they would ask God, well, they were being taught truth from God's word. They knew that it was truth from God's word. And so they rejected it and they rebelled against it, and they still went back to God and said, "Show me the true church. Help me to know where to go." They knew what to do, but they were rejecting it. And guess what? I had a friend this happened to. She was rejecting what she knew God wanted her to do. And she said, "Show me the true church." She was visited that very week by an Episcopal priest. He knocked on her door. She accepted him in, listened to what he had to say, went to his church just that next day. And she and her whole family began to be Episcopals. Now they're not even Episcopals because Episcopals accepted the gay lifestyle. And so they said, well, that's not right. So they changed and they're Catholics. Now they're Catholics. So that's, to me, that shows that what happens when you dissemble in your heart and you ask God to lead you when you already kind of have in your mind, I'm going to go another way. I'm going to take my own way. I'm not going to go the way that I know is right. Another person years ago began to reject God's truth and said, I want you to show me the true church. And guess what? That very day, Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on her door. She invited them in, listened to them. Now she's an old lady, and she's still a Jehovah's Witness. Did God lead her? No, God did not lead her. When we ask for something and we already know what God wants, and we ask for something else, what we get is going to be a deception every time. Our own hearts are going to be deceived. So let's not do as these people did here. Let's do as Ruth did. I was thinking of how Ruth, in the book of Ruth, her prayer to her mother-in-law. Now, believe that her prayer was not just a prayer of emotion, loving her mother-in-law. But it was a prayer, it went deeper than emotion, it went deeper than an affection. It was a conviction that what she had been taught about the true God was right. And so she knew that if she would follow her mother-in-law back to Israel, that she would learn more and more about the true God. And she wanted to be his child and she wanted to be with his people. And this is what she said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught or if anything but death parts thee and me. So she had a mind to go, even if it meant to die. She meant to do this until her death. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. I want to do that. Another illustration that I thought about was Elijah. He had chosen Elisha to follow him and to come after him. In chapter 2 of 2 Kings, he tested Elisha. He had told Elisha, he just tested him even before he told him what he did. It says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He wanted to be right there with Elijah. He wanted to follow him. So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So this must have been something that was revealed to the prophets, to Elisha, to Elijah. Elijah tested him. You stay here, I'll go over here. But Elisha had something in his mind. So let's see what it was. He said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry ye here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, and so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so." Now he had already tried to distract him. He had tried to test him. God does this sometimes too. He allows things into our lives to see, will you follow me or no? I believe he did that with the children of Israel. I think it's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 2. He said, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep my commandments or no." So the Lord leads us into different ways we've not known. He leads us into places where it will prove us, will humble us. He many times allows things to distract us, see if they will distract us. The Lord's leading, gently leading us. He leads us all the way into this place, into that place. This is such a wonderful thought to me. Think about what Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter. I love this. John 10, verse 3. Down in the bottom part of the verse, it says, "He calleth his own sheep." The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. When you begin to serve the Lord, he's going to teach you to know his voice. It'll start with just very small things. But I found that if we will be very attentive to the little voice, one scripture says, "And you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or turn to the left." If we'll be very attentive, we'll ask the Lord, "Lead me." We'll volunteer, "Lord, here am I, send me." We'll be willing to go wherever the Lord. "Lord, I'll go wherever you send. Where you go, I will go." Have that willingness in our heart. Don't dissemble in your heart and have it in your mind that I want to do this, but I'm going to ask the Lord. And have this in our hearts. "Lord, I want to know." Oh, that makes me. There was a scripture in the Old Testament I wanted to get. Let me just get that right quick, and then we'll come back to John. In Ezra, in chapter 8, I've been always impressed with this, and as a mother, as a parent, I use this scripture different times in seeking the Lord. Chapter 8 of Ezra, verse 21. He said, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance." Verse 23, "We fasted and besought the Lord our God for this, and He was entreated of us." This is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be real purposeful in guiding our lives and our families. We need to know. You as parents are going to be presented with many, many decisions. Do I go this direction or not? There's some things that when you open the door, when you do something and it seems like a small decision, it opens the door to a whole lifestyle. I've seen this happen. I've seen parents begin to allow this or this in their home, and the end of the thing was that the children and the family was all involved in something that it never started out looking like that. But that's what door was opened. So this is we as parents should at times even fast and pray and say, "Lord, I want to know the right way for us and for our little ones. How do we go here?" And back to John 10, it says, "They know not the voice of strangers." When we ask the Lord these things, we also need to be very attentive to His voice and Him leading us in all kinds of things. If the Lord would like to lead you, let's say, in prayer, be very attentive to the voice of the Lord coming to you when you're praying. Just don't pray in such a hurry that you've got a certain bunch of stuff that you're going to rattle off and then hurry and jump up. But pray, and every once in a while, just listen. "Lord, is there anything else you want me to pray about? Lord, I don't know what to pray about as I should, so I want your Spirit to talk to me." And whenever the Lord may bring one word to your mind, the Lord wants you to explore that. The Lord wants you to begin to pray about it and ask more questions. Say, "Lord, here's what comes to my mind." And begin to pray about it. Begin to pray in detail about it. Think about what the Lord just brought to your mind. Think about the possibilities. "Lord, you just brought this person to my mind. I don't know what's going on in their life, but Lord, I pray that you will, whatever it is, that you will rescue them, that you will work it for their salvation, that you will speak to this person, that you will protect this person, that you will prove yourself to this person." Begin to really pray and then ask the Lord, "Lord, is there anyone else?" And whatever comes to your mind, pray about it. Be willing to obey the voice of the Lord, even in little things, a very small, still voice. There have been times in our lives where the Lord has given us impressions and talked to us, and we have not yielded. We've put what we thought was our better judgment into play, and it didn't turn out right. And there have been times where we never knew. We just obeyed. The Lord impressed us to do something, and we just obeyed. And it was kind of like, okay, I did that, and nothing really big happened. I don't know. We can't just discount it. We may not know until eternity that little seed that we sowed or that deed that we did had any good to it at all. But the result or the outcome is not what motivates us. What motivates us is if we follow and are faithful to the Lord. Well, that's the purpose for which we are living. He said, "He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Become acquainted with the voice of the Lord." Remember, have taught this to young people many years. The young people want to know, "Well, who am I supposed to marry? How am I going to know?" And I've said to them, you Don't even worry about that right now, but you begin to follow the Lord. Learn to know the voice of the Lord. Don't try to get a great big thing in your life and understand the voice of the Lord when you've never practiced in little things. If you've always taken your own way in little things, and you've never waited and been patient to hear God's voice in anything else, and then all of a sudden you want to know who you're supposed to marry. It doesn't even make sense. What the Lord wants us to do is to learn His voice. As young as you can start, learn the voice of the Lord. Learn how to take your way and put it on hold and say, Lord, I am going to wait until I know what You want to do, until I understand what You want me to do. When the Lord sees that willingness, He will lead us. He will show us what to do. If we have, like those people we read about in Jeremiah, if we over and over do what they did, ask the Lord to lead us, have in mind to take our own way anyway, and we do that over and over, we are actually going to be in deception after a while. We're going to be doing stuff that we think is right, and it's not the Lord at all. It's our own way. Somebody said one time what we thought was the smoke of the Lord's glory was actually the dust of our own endeavors. So that's what happens many times. People begin to think, oh, I'm doing the will of the Lord, and they're not at all. He said, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. I remember one time as a young minister, somebody came to me and said, the Lord showed me that you're supposed to come over to my place and hold a meeting. And I said, well, I really need to pray about it because there are different factors here. I really want to know that the Lord wants me to. And he said, well, you don't need to pray about it. I've already got the mind of the Lord about it. Big yellow flag, actually big red flag. I talked to an older minister and I said, here's what just happened to me. Do you have any advice for me? And they said, if someone ever says that, that is a big warning. Don't follow that. And it proved out later. It would not have been a good thing to do. It would have brought confusion. These people were actually going into another division. And if I would have brought myself into that atmosphere, my soul may have been vulnerable to the very same division. There are going to be lots of things like that in life. The safest thing to do is to follow the still small voice that has been familiar to us already. The one that saved us, the one that called us to be saved, the one that has dealt with us, the one that has led us. Just keep following Him. There was this one scripture that I thought about whenever I said, we need to have the heart that says, here am I, send me. In order to do what God wants us to do in life, there must be, first things must come first. And I think about it like that. The first thing is, we get a real, like Isaiah. Isaiah got a real vision of the Lord. Then he got a vision of himself, how that he was undone before the Lord. And he asked, and as he repented and got down low before the Lord touched his lips with a living coal. Then he said, here am I, send me. Only when we're sent can we give God's word. There's a scripture in Romans that said, how shall they preach except they be sent? So there are many things that need. He was saying, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And my thought on this is, how are you going to be sent unless you've said, Lord, here am I, send me? How are we going to say, here am I, Lord, send me, unless we've gone through this process where the Lord has, we've seen the Lord, we've seen our own self and our weaknesses, the Lord has touched us, the Lord has cleansed us and purified us, then we can be of use and service to Him. He wants to lead His people. He will lead us and He will guide us. oh, I want to get this scripture over here in Deuteronomy. He tells here, Deuteronomy 32, talks about how the Lord led Israel. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 32 and 10. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now this is saying how the Lord led Israel, but we can take these scriptures. This is how the Lord leads us. He found him, he led him, he instructed him, he kept him. In verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. Now, you know what? The Lord wants to lead every one of us. The Lord wants to lead every one of us as an eagle teaches her young ones to fly. How does she do this? I have a little book that I have read in that tells about the eagle. I want to just read this to you. It says, you know how the eagle's wings are obtained? Only one way, by the eagle birth. You are born of God. You have the eagle's wings. You may not have known it. You may not have used them. But God can and will teach you to use them. Remember, this is all part of the Lord leading us, the Lord teaching us. This is a process that He gives us eagle's wings in His process of leading us. It says, as an eagle stirs up her nest, bears her young on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. So let's look at this little process for a little bit, and I can see this in my life, how the Lord has led us. It says, you see how the eagles are taught the use of their wings. You see yonder cliff rising 1,000 feet out of the sea. See high up on a ledge on the rock where there's an eagle's nest with the treasure of 2 young eaglets. See the mother bird, she comes and she stirs up her nest, and with the beak she pushes the timid birds off of the precipice. See how they flutter and fall and sink toward the depth. See how she fluttereth over her young and spread abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, and so as they ride on her wings, she brings them once again to a place of safety. And so she does this again and again, each time casting them off of the precipice, and then again taking them and carrying them. So the Lord alone did lead him. Yes, the instinct of that eagle mother was God's gift, a single ray of that love in which the Almighty trains his people to mount up on the eagle's wings. He stirs up your nest. He disappoints your hopes. He brings down your confidence. He makes you fear and tremble as all your strength fails and you feel utterly weary and helpless. And all the while, he is spreading his strong wings for you to rest your weakness on and offering his everlasting creator strength to work in you. All he asks is that you should sink down in your weariness and wait on him and allow him in his Jehovah strength to carry you as you ride upon the wings of his omnipotence. This is how the Lord many times leads us. He knocks out the props. He disappoints us. He allows us to feel that maybe there's hope is gone. What do I do? The Lord is doing something to lead you and to guide you. Many times that's the only way that he can get us to really rely on him, is whenever he takes all of our hopes and our dreams and our props away from us. When we can really rely on him, then he can lead us. I was wanting to just also quote the words of an old song. The words really struck me as I read them. It says, lead, kindly light, amid the encircling gloom, lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step is enough for me. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I loved to choose and see my path, but now lead thou me on. I loved the garish day, and spite of fears, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. So long thy power has blessed me sure, yet still will lead me on. O'er moor and fen, o'er crag and torrent, till the night is gone. And with the morn, those angelic faces smile, which I have loved long since and lost a while. Well, I like the second verse especially where it says, I was not ever thus. I didn't pray that the Lord would lead me. I really wanted to do my own way. But the Lord has taught me. He's taught me to wait. He has taught me to hear His voice. He has taught me by experience what it meant to take your own way and to fail. And I believe He wants to teach and lead all of us. He said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that thou shalt go.